Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello. 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 Hello, mate. Are you all right? Oh, no. I'm trapped down a well. Oh, that's a shame. Would you like me to get you out? No, that's not the problem. The problem is that I want to make a film about people trapped down wells because they're not recognised enough in, you know, the film industry. Oh, I see. You want to get in touch with Her Film Project. It's a global initiative to advance equality in film through inclusive storytelling across race, gender, sexuality, age and ability. So, you know, that might deal with people down wells. Well, that sounds good. How do I do that? Well, just go to the website or follow them at Her Film Project. How do you find out about these people? Oh, they're the sponsors of Film Fandango, the film podcast. What? It's this thing coming up right now. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. Where's David Reed? He's gone forever. So get lost and stop moaning about it. Now, what's happened is he is on paternity leave for who knows how long. So you are left with this voice. Like fingers scratching down a blackboard every week until you give up. But today I am joined by the wonderful Lizzie Roper. Hello, Lizzie.
Hello, Marek.
Lizzie, who you probably know from previous podcasts, if you're aware.
Yeah, I get around. And I'm sort of right in. I'm like a sort of weird Uber fan stalker. It's not pretty.
Well, I think most of the people listening, I mean, if they're still listening, I should imagine there's something wrong with them.
But I think it does give hope to all your Uber fan stalkers that one day you too could end up in a bedroom with Marek Larwood discussing. Well, that's,
I mean, we should explain what sort of where this podcast has gone.
It's gone wrong.
We originally were in. I've come to Lizzie's house to record this podcast, and we were downstairs, and then the oven man came.
I am the oven man.
I'm not even going to explain what. What he does, or he's still down there now.
Yeah, he's a superhero. He once got kissed by an oven.
Yeah, he could cook things in his ass. So he is cooking up a nice pie in his ass. Oh, God. I mean, it's just. I thought David's going to go. Yeah. Is this podcast going to struggle for being sensible?
Isn't it? Yeah, because David was the one that really took it off track all the time, wasn't he? He's got a filthy mouth and a filthy mind.
It's just going to be mainly about bums.
Hey!
Anyway, we've come to Lizzie's bedroom to talk about bums as well as films. For new listeners, which there are probably about five or six, this is a film podcast where I'll chat to a guest with the format slightly changed. In now, I am accompanying the guest to the cinema.
To make sure we go to the cinema.
To make sure we go,
yeah. Pointed stick.
And then we watch the film. Immediately afterwards, we're going to talk about the film, having barely enough any time to think about it. And then later on, I'll read the letters and I'm introduced. There's a few questions to find out a bit more about the guest and a sort of a quiz round, which you can play along with at home. So, Lizzie, we went to see Death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin.
Do you want to explain what it's about? I hate doing explaining what it's about.
Oh, yeah. It's about a guy called Stalin.
Yeah.
And he dies.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Well, it's... The Armando Iannucci film, he's sort of revered by people in comedy.
It's the thick of it treatment on a horrific slice of history.
Yes. And it stars Steve Buscemi.
Paul Whitehouse
is in
Jeffrey
it.
Tambor. You said Steve Buscemi. Is this the quiz?
Just no, this isn't the quiz. It's surprisingly hard, isn't it? Jason Isaacs is in it.
Oh, he's very good. And then of course, as unemployed actors, we get to sit there and go, it's Ewan Bailey, it's Paul Reedy, it's who was in the alley?
Justin Edwards was in it
Justin
as well.
Justin Edwards was in it.
A lot of people, we think, how come they got cast in this? I didn't get cast in this.
Didn't even get seen. Didn't even get the initial, would you possibly like to come and humiliate yourself in a small room in the West End of London?
Well, I was telling you before, I'd go off on another tangent, I had my very first film casting I've had in approximately about 3 or 4 years.
Four, you're coming up, aren't you?
Yeah, four. I probably can't. I'm not going to get it. Mm. It was for a sequel to the one of these Girl of Dragon Tattoo things.
Yes.
And I had to pay this tech geek. And I got a recall.
Yeah.
And I had to do a Swedish accent.
How was your Swedish accent?
Well, I did it to my girlfriend and she said, you sound like the Count off Sesame Street.
Oh.
And it was very much like this. And even the casting director looked embarrassed. And that was the last time I get any work for her. And she said, as I left... Well, at least you tried.
At least he tried. They could put that on your tombstone.
Well, I should
have tried. Mark Larwood, at least he tried.
Should have tried harder. Anyway, back to this film. It's sort of, it felt like a Crosswind the Thick of It and a Woody Allen film.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah. It's a lot of talking.
For me, the word of the film is juxtaposition.
Yes.
Because it was that constantly you've got, we know we're in Russia, we know we're at the time, Stalin and the gulags and all that. And it's brilliant because you have English and American actors talking in the vernacular and very colloquially.
That was really great, I think, rather than having people, like we just witnessed my terror, rather than having everyone trying to do sort of wild variants of...
And it brought it down to who those men were. They were petty little men with petty little scores to settle, constantly looking over their shoulder and who could you trust and just pointing fingers relentlessly at each other. And the fact that it's just some great, some cracking lines in there.
But do you know anything about the Russian history at all around that?
I knew that Stalin was very, very bad. I knew that he came in... Because there was the Russian Revolution, wasn't there? They got rid of the royal family.
That back in 1918.
And then Stalin came in and just destroyed the country. Destroyed millions of people.
It was all just paranoid.
Starved them
people,
to death.
Yeah. I started reading a Julian Barnes book called The Sound of... The Silence of History or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about the same thing, but it was just a bit too smug. But it's just the secret police basically taking anyone, putting shackles on all the artistic people that had to represent Russia and the voice of Russia.
Yeah.
And anyone who swayed away from that was taken away and shot or sent to the gulags. Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, because here we are again. We are tired of experts, aren't we?
Yeah.
And
I think we should go back to that.
Yeah. Well, we have. We're down amongst the... Like when they said they needed a doctor and it's like, well, we've killed all the doctors. So they had to go and herd up the young and the imbecilic and the ancient.
There's hope for me. Did you enjoy it, though?
I laughed throughout. I felt immensely stupid at certain points.
Why?
Because I was like, am I following this? Can I keep up? Or is that the point that it is impossible to follow and understand? You don't look like you did enjoy it.
No, I did enjoy it. I think it felt... like a TV series that had been made into a film. I don't know if I felt satisfied that enough happened.
Well, enough people got shot, didn't they?
It was the same thing over and over again. It was just basically six paranoid, sort of power-hungry...
White, angry men.
Egotistical men worried about their own backs and fighting for power. Mm. They were quite amusing. I mean, all the actors were brilliant in it. Simon Russell Beale, who's a famous Shakespearean actor... who played Beria, was brilliant as well.
He was seedy and he was terrified. It was very odd to be watching a comedy and to be terrified of somebody at the same time as laughing at them and with them.
Yeah, I mean, they all did really well at playing characters that were all sort of really dislikable, awful men, which is quite nice to see a comedy like that. But
did I really find it funny? I don't know. It's sort of that laughter. It's the ha 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 clever laughter rather than, you know, it's like, oh, this is very quick. I think I felt as the same way I expected I'd feel when I went to see it, which was, oh, this is obviously Amanda Ornish, who's a very clever man. It's a very good satire.
And David Schneider.
David Schneider as well. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a four-man writing team.
And it's based on a comic book, which you said, called, by Fabian Newey, called The Death of Stalin. I mean, some people will really like it if you like the thick of it, I think. So, yeah.
But I think it's that, like, when you do... I haven't got much experience of film acting. I've got more experience of TV and theatre. And it's that thing when you do a play and the first questions you ask is, why this play and why now? And I think that film answers that question brilliantly of why this film and why now, because it's a film about political madness, about power crazy, nothing making sense, the minutiae of insanity and balderdash and bullshit, which is what we're living through at the moment.
Yeah, why is that? Is it because people who want to be politicians are fundamental? Are you a knobs?
Am I a knobs?
No, people who want to be politicians and. Dicks.
Well, I think the trouble with politics. Oh, there's a naked man over there. See, this is better than the angry dog. Look,
I'm not getting
he's hoovering.
Angle.
He's hoovering, and he's got his tits out.
It's like a Queen ad video.
Look.
Oh, he's got his top off. He's in his pants.
Yeah. What were we saying? I got distracted by the nudity.
I think probably the listener.
No, the trouble with politics, she sums up with one sentence, is that politics can only ever be short term. It can't be long term.
Yeah.
By the very nature of it. So that's why we're constantly struggling and drowning. But we never thought we'd drown in a bowl of Trumpisms. Never saw that one coming.
Yeah, it is mental. But this isn't a political show. how many Lizzies would you give it?
Oh, 7. 7 Lizzies.
Yeah. I think 6 or 7 Merricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got 7.7 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Metascore 88. As expected, critics love it, all this shit.
You will go and have a good time if you see this film. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. There are plenty of laughs in there.
Yeah, I think it's not a film you would love, or I think I'll watch again.
No.
But it definitely feels like it's a bit of a breath of fresh air. In the cinema. Yeah. Anyway, it's time for this. Some people are writing letters, we like reading them out. This is the letters section.
Oh, some people are writing letters, we like reading them out.
I'm going to play that in.
I thought you would, but yeah. I wanted to sing it anyway.
Oh, it's fine. Here we go, cinema charges. This is from Stuart Lewis. Whoop whoop, it's the sound of the podcast. Oh, that's supposed to be in a different voice. Mm-hmm. Morning all, my local view is Newcastle Stuffs. The cinema has just undergone a total refit. All leather recliners, 4K digital and Dolby Atmos.
Pooh.
It looks and sounds stunning.
Pooh.
With great seating.
I can sense a buck coming.
My wife and I take advantage of the Meerkat Movies 2-for-1 or the Monday Madness half prices. £4 each to see a film, bargain. If you load up at the pound shop first, bag of crap for a quid, 2 pops for a quid, I don't know what that means, view a bag of crap to eat, I don't even understand what it means, popcorn and a pop, a tenner. Oh, he's basically saying if you go to the
pound
shop
and buy all your sweets.
Yeah,
there.
I've read that really badly. this is in reference to us asking how much cinema prices were around the country a couple of episodes ago. You can choose your seat off a plan and see which others are occupied. Great. Unless the film's popular, and you might have to sit by the Bloody Morgans. That's referencing
I'm aware.
Did you see the
Morgans? Have you heard of the Morgans?
Have you met the Morgans?
Why did the Morgans go across the road?
But there's rarely anyone in. We tend to do early evening shows, 5 or 6 in, and usually less than a dozen folks in.
How much did we pay?
It was not, with our discount,
was
£9.10.
Whoa, that's steep for 11 o'clock in the morning.
But the Everyman in Muswell Hill.
Yeah.
15 quid.
Oh, lick my balls.
Yeah, lick them good.
And then you can give me £15.
Exactly.
And then I might watch your film.
Yes, you arseholes. I tell you what,
here's
another letter. It's about cinema prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting letter for him today. It's from Dave Christensen, who writes in, "Hi, David, Marek, Buddy, Danielle, Bastard Dog Next Door, potential guests and other recurring characters. Most of those are gone, Dave." A couple of weeks ago, you asked how much we pay for cinema tickets, and I thought I'd write in to tell you about my hometown cinema, the Plaza in Dorchester, Dorset. How much do you reckon it is?
Oh, in Dorchester, I would pay £7.50.
Well, get this. It's £2.50 on weekdays.
Suck my balls!
And £3.50 on the weekends. There we go. He also wanted to write to you something about film budgets and how to judge the success of box office takings. I don't remember what you were talking about or any other useful details, but a few weeks ago, you mentioned a film and stated that because the money was taken was just... and that because the money taken was just over the budget, the film was a moderate success. But according to Mark Kermode, at least, the film distribution and promotion costs are usually roughly similar to the filming budget. So that for a film to break even, it has to make double the reported budget, if that makes sense. Thank you very much. So, Bumming Man...
Yeah.
I've got to make double what the budget is.
What is the budget for double for Bumming Man?
Oh, I haven't started saving it.
What do you think you... How? If I could wave a magic wand...
Well, the problem is, either you make a film for nothing...
Yeah.
...and you say to people what no one's getting paid and you get a percentage of it and then just pay for costs, or you start paying everyone and then it suddenly turns in from £0 to £100,000.
Yeah.
And no films, even the Blade Runner has only taken 3.1 million in the first week.
Really?
In the UK.
How much did it cost to make?
Millions and millions.
That's a downer then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a flop.
Oh.
But
they didn't have enough bumming in it, did they?
Well, no. I mean, the closest I could get is the bumming in the sandpit to Blade Runner 2049.
Bumming in a sandpit. Wow.
All right, well, that'll do for the letters section. Don't laugh, Lizzie, if it's unprofessional, if somehow lost something.
No, steaming ahead.
Everyone is pleased about the letters. And we've got, well, I can do one more. It's about cinema prices. Everyone's just written about cinema prices.
Well, you asked them to write about cinema prices.
I know. Lee Wood has written in. This is almost like my surname. Hi, David, American buddy. I'm from South Wales. Depends where I go. So prices vary depending on where I go. Bridgend Odeon now costs £9.
I think that's a bit steep.
It is steep. Showcase Cinema in Nantgore, can't pronounce that.
Nantgore.
£9. And Cardiff prices vary. Premier Cinema is just £4. Thank you, Lee. We're getting ripped off in London, aren't we?
We're getting ripped off in London for breathing.
Literally triple the prices of anything else.
You walk out the door in London, the money flies out your pocket.
Bullshit.
We're idiots. It's our fault for being London-centric wankers.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to write in and tell us how shit London is and other stuff about films, write in to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com or go to filmfandango.co.uk and click on the contact thing. I should have checked this beforehand because David does this. Click on the website and write in a letter, please. Thank you very much. Also, you can donate to help keep this podcast going. And help pay for my new recorder that I'm just checking is recording now.
Oh, sexy.
And you can donate on the website as well. Anyone who has it's much appreciated. Thank you very much. You're the greatest. It's really nice. Thank you. Okay, do you know what? It's time for the new section. Let's go.
Is there a jingle for this bit?
I'm going to put it in, yeah.
Brilliant. Are you writing it?
Yeah. So you just need to say, wow, that's an impressive jingle.
Okay.
We're going to find out about the guests, what things they like and other bits. We ask them questions about films. Here are the questions coming up. Yeah.
Wow, that's an impressive jingle.
Thanks, Lizzie. Okay, the first question is, as you may know, we play the IMDb game quite a lot, which is where you go through the IMDb top 250 and the first film you haven't seen is your IMDb number. Have you had a chance to do this?
Yeah.
What is it?
You're going to hate me. You're going to think I'm a loser.
Don't tell me it's in the first 10. Really? What haven't you seen?
My IMDb... I feel like I'm revealing myself to be an alcoholic.
It's a bit like that, yeah.
My IMDb number, Marek, is 2.
That's a Godfather?
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
But it's such a... got something to really look forward to.
Yeah.
You've not seen The Godfather 2 as well.
I haven't seen any of them. I've got tits and a fanny.
No, it's not really. I don't think it is that laddie.
But it's. I would never. You know, it's on my list of things to do.
How have you not encountered it? You must have encountered it on TV.
Yeah, I might have turned over and, oh, there's a bit of it, but I'm not there from the beginning, so... So I really feel judged. I feel bad. I feel really dirty. And you know what? I haven't seen... The third one is another Godfather as well.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
No.
They're really great films. I'm happy for you.
Because I have this to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can watch these great films again. But lately, I think I've got about a 10-year memory of films.
Yeah.
I even watched Midnight Run again, which I watched about a year ago.
What's Midnight Run?
Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Robert De Niro in, Charles Grodin's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Grodin's a lawyer who, not a lawyer, he's an accountant, didn't realise he was an accountant for a mafia firm, and he basically took loads of money and donated it to charity, so they're after him. And the bail bond... Something to do with bail bonds, I don't really understand. Robert De Niro is a bail bond man, and he's trying to catch Charles Grodin, who's in hiding, and bring him back to Los Angeles.
I'm not tempted.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Uh-huh.
Because Robert De Niro is really funny, and Charles Grodin is amazing.
When I say I've got tits and fanny, also I think there is a difference between men and women in terms of we don't store and squirrel things away. We don't. I was at a photo shoot the other day, and the photographer said to me, "What music do you want?" I was like, "Oh, you only had Spotify." So I'm like, "Oh, David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust album." Oh, right. And he went into that whole rant about David, like he owns it. And it's like, I like the album. I can't, yeah. I haven't invested myself. Plus, I did smoke a lot of dope in my 20s and 30s.
Yes,
I have destroyed an awful lot of my brain cells.
Everyone did
I can't remember my life.
But everyone did that.
Yeah, but.
How much were you smoking?
Well, enough.
Have you tried it these days?
Oh, it's awful.
It's awful. Skunk.
Skunk, monk, punk, nunk.
Horrific.
Dunk.
Don't do drugs, kids. When you look through your list, did you see other ones that you thought should have been, you haven't seen?
Yeah, if you bring it up and I'll... Yes, there are loads of good classic ones that, you know, there should be on your list of things to do, but I should clean under my bed and I should do yoga, and I haven't done them either.
You've talked about yoga a lot today.
Because I'm very stiff.
In the meantime, while I do this, this is a really boring one, I thought people might find it interesting. Can you give us your top five films or your top films?
Yes. Seven Psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Married an Axe Murderer. And then I have to get these out. Oh, yeah. Bedazzled. That's three. True Romance. Four. Oh, no, you're at the cat's shit.
The cat just jumped on me. The cat just jumped on me.
Captain Larwood.
Bedazzled. Bedazzled's the...
The original. Not your... Have you not seen Bedazzled?
Bedazzled is the one with, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. I've not seen that.
Oh! Can I lend this to you?
I haven't got a DVD player. I'll watch it, you'll see it on whatnot.
Seven Psychopaths, Married an Axe Murder, True Romance, Bedazzled. And this isn't strictly a film. This is a film of her one-woman show that she did.
Elaine Stritch.
At Liberty.
Is she more of a theatre actress?
She did everything. She did everything. But this is her sort of towards the end of her life, on stage, wearing a white silk shirt and black tights. And telling you about how Marlon Brando tried to get off with her... And how she understudied for Ethel Merman, and I mean this is a gamut of extraordinary American stage and
I never even heard of her.
You're joking?
No. Elaine Stritch.
She's amazing. That's on Netflix. I'm sure that's on Netflix.
I have to look her up. That's a really interesting choice because people don't know from. So I Married an Axe Murderer. I remember really enjoying that, but it's never on TV, is it? It never seems to be repeated.
No, and I discovered that when I was. I think I was in my early 20s, and I went absolutely mad for it. This charming, charming, silly, stupid sense of humour.
And Mike Myers doesn't play it too mental in that, does he?
No, but he does the brilliant thing about he plays the dad as well as playing himself.
Yeah, the dad's mental.
Yeah, the dad's fucking mental and Scottish, so he can do his Scottish accent. And that was my go-to film for the boyfriend testing. It's like, I'd always sit the new boyfriend.
But all boys would like that, though.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's like, you have to watch this. This is my favourite film. And if you don't like it, you're out. I am sitting here a barren spinster.
So they didn't like it?
So no, they did like it, but I just fucked the relationship up.
I can't think what else could go... I can't think what else could go wrong.
Yeah, I see. If a girl played me, I Married an Axe Murderer, I think she's for keeps.
Yeah, maybe you should lose up. here's the last question. Yeah. Here's one from another week. I thought someone wrote in, I thought it was a good question. What actor or actress would you like to watch a film that they're in with?
Oh, it's really difficult, isn't it? And that man is still naked.
Man across the window, still doing things in his
And I thought pants. Long and hard about this, because you told me the question was, what are your top five films? And I thought it was one of the actors in that. So I know, I was thinking, oh my God, but of course, Peter Cook, bedazzled. Yeah. But then I thought, if I met Peter Cook, I might be disappointed, because I think I'd be frightened of him, and he might be one of his odd moods.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone you read about. I think the idea of meeting him.
Yeah.
It's so, probably a bit like me.
So I'll put Peter Cook back in the box.
Yeah.
And in which case, let's move to Seven Psychopaths, and let's take Christopher Walken out, because you know that he would just be charming and funny and engaging, and he'd probably roast you a chicken, because he does that on YouTube.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. Look up Christopher Walken cooks on YouTube, and he stands in his kitchen doing silly little videos.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
He's amazing. And he's so bizarre, and he's so bonkers, and he's gentle, and you could make him dance. That would be good.
He's not some sort of...
He's a dancer. He was a trained dancer.
I know he's a trained dancer, but you don't just go and meet him and just say, dance, while
walking. Dance, walking. I would.
Have you seen The Dead Zone?
No.
That's my favourite Christopher Walken film.
Really?
Excellent. Do you like horror films? Stephen King, it's not really horror, it's more mystery. It's got Martin Sheen in it. It's a really good 80s film.
Oh,
please watch it.
All right.
Well, that's
Is
the
that
end.
It? That's... We've already done like 20
now
minutes.
I've got another quiz section.
Okay, good.
Film quiz. Trivia questions. Facts. Other things. Interesting. Yes.
That jingle blew my mind.
Oh, thanks, Lizzie. Well, feel free to play along at home, listeners. I thought it would be nice to have some everyone likes trivia. I'm going to ask each of our guests five questions.
Brilliant. And I'll show you how little I know.
Well, it's more. It's a lot of guesswork. Is question one.
Yeah.
Who is older?
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh.
Or Ed Harris? Good question.
Oh, you see, you want to say Ed Harris, but the very fact that you've asked the question makes me go,
is it?
Should it be Sylvester Stallone? Oh, God, you bastard. My mind's in turmoil.
I picked a good two there. So yeah. This is a good... Yeah. Ages is going to be one of the good question
It's formats. Difficult because Ed Harris is one of those actors who's good looking, but his face has always looked a bit like a scrotal sack.
Well, I was watching The Abyss again and thinking that I hadn't watched it since I was about 18.
Mm.
And in my... It's that thing when you go and watch films again now, and you thought the actors were really, really old, and now you're 40 years ago, actually, they're younger than me.
Yeah.
So...
And I've done nothing with my life.
And I watched Ed Harris in Mother, and he looks really wrinkled. Mm. He looks like he's been smoking a lot.
You went to see... Oh, yeah, you hated Mother, didn't
Bullshit.
You? I have no... Darren Aronofsky can suck my balls.
He just made it so he could try and...
I got
Jennifer
so
Lawrence.
Angry when I went to see Requiem for a Dream, that last...
I didn't like that either.
That scene when they're backing up onto a double-ended dildo, I was so angry. I was absolutely furious.
Yeah.
And I'd had to sit through all that, pills, woman.
That film is total bollocks. And that's in the top 100 films.
Yeah, exactly. So why would I bother? Why would I even...
Yeah, you can put that double-ended thing up your own...
Anus.
Anyway, come on, Lizzie.
So I'm going to have to go with my first guess, which is Ed Harris.
He's the oldest.
Yes.
Ed Harris was born on the 28th of November, 1950.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He's 66 years old.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone was born on the 6th of July, 1946. He's 71 years old.
You bastard.
I thought Ed Harris was much older.
Yeah. God. Well,
that's according to Wikipedia, so it could potentially be a lie.
Yeah, but Sylvester Stallone did all that working out, didn't he?
Yeah, he's
he
a muscle.
All those stairs.
He's a macho man.
Yeah.
The next question.
What's that thing that he shouts in Rocky?
Adrian! It's his girlfriend's name.
Oh, I thought it was a man.
Adrian. It will be Adrian then. Then it will be Adrian.
That's what my sister was shouting at me last week.
Adrian?
Adrian!
Why?
She makes the dogs do impressions.
What? That's why you do that for a living? You just have a YouTube
site.
She
just stands behind the dogs, holds their front legs up and does, oh, Betty, the cat's done a whoopsie. Very, very badly with a Jack Russell.
Well, I thought the dog's actually doing film impressions. That's a YouTube channel.
And then she said Adrian, and I didn't know what she was talking about.
Oh. Okay. We need to watch Rocky. Rocky's disappointing, I think.
Yeah.
Question two. Which of these films was released first? Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
Or Back to the Future?
Oh, you're messing with my mind, aren't you?
Yeah, good one.
You're like the Death Master.
Yeah, Death Master. Here he comes, Death Master.
Death Master. And his delectable questions. Back to the Future or
Ghostbusters?
Oh, piss and arse. Back to the Future?
Back to the Future was released in 1985.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters,
84. Oh, that's not fair when you only get them 12 months apart.
Yeah, but it's still, that's why it's good though. Good.
Yeah, that's why it's good. That's why you're the Death Master.
Please write in, listen at home, and tell me if you like this new section or you think it's total shit.
I think it should be called Death Master.
Yeah, Death Masters. Yeah.
Death Master 2000.
Fight with Death Master. I'm going to give you, there's only three more questions left.
Yeah.
It's a Spanish film title.
Mm-hmm.
What is the actual film?
Yeah.
The Spanish film title is Vaselina. What famous film is Vaselina?
It's a famous film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's not a famous film called Vaseline, is there?
No, sorry, that's a translation.
Is there a film called Vicks VapoRub, Tiger Balm?
Just Vaseline.
Vaseline, olive oil, lubricant. Lubricant, slippy.
You're getting along the right lines.
Lubricant, anal, bumming man.
You're not bumming. Why is it to be about bumming? Vaselina.
Vaseline.
You'll kick yourself if you don't get it.
Oh, Jesus. Can I have more clues? Just doing this with your hand doesn't count. Vaseline. Who was in it?
No, I'm going to say it's a musical.
Oh, my God. Carousel.
Should I give you the answer?
No! Give me clues!
That's it. I'm not going to give any more clues.
I'll rub my cat in your face.
Oh, well, no. I'm going to give you the answer in 3 seconds.
Okay. It's a musical. Yeah. Frozen. I don't know.
Grease.
Oh, shit. The fucking bed.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Bell end of all bell ends.
Well, that's not nice. It's not out of 3, Dizzy.
I'm swearing a lot. Like I'm showing off like I'm at a child's party.
It's very much a child's party. Here's another Back to the Future question.
Mm-hmm.
Who was originally cast as Marty McFly? And they filmed for 5 weeks with him before replacing him with Michael J. Fox.
Oh, everybody's shouting at me now.
I didn't know this until I watched a documentary about it.
Johnny Depp.
No, it's Eric Stoltz.
I was mental for Eric Stoltz when I was younger. I was absolutely mental for him. I loved him. Oh, poor Eric.
Yeah, awful.
Five weeks. That's a whole job on some jobs.
And so they actually used, for some of them, they used
the back of his head.
When they did the singles,
yeah.
They used the singles of other actors acting alongside Eric Stoltz.
Oh my God.
That must be crippling to someone to say, yeah, it's not working out and you're fired from that job.
Because also, Eric Stoltz was one of those actors, he had his moment in the sun, didn't he? Because
Mask
was the big one. And then I started watching him after that and he'd turn up in amazing films and I go, oh yeah, well this is my actor, I'll keep him in the box, he's lovely. But what's he done lately?
Well, Pulp Fiction was the last big one I remember.
Yeah. So maybe he's doing theatre.
Probably get him for Bumming Man for quite cheap.
Yeah, he'd be a good Bumming Man. Would he the bummer or the bummy?
He'd be a switcher.
The old switcheroo.
Oh, it's wow. So much, it's bad, isn't it?
Oh God, has that ever happened to you?
What, been replaced?
Yeah.
I just haven't got the part in the first place.
I'm sure I've been cut. I was in Angus Thongs and Snogging, that thing, and I think I did 3 scenes and it was basically cut down to a scene and a half. And of course you only realise once you're sitting there watching it. And you're just going, oh, there's a really good bit coming.
Yeah, in between these two, this is probably no, so they did an alternate ending.
Yeah.
And they all get sunstroke and they're in the hospital, and then Jay thinks he's getting a hand off from his girlfriend when he wakes up from his delirious dream. It's me double hand pumping.
Why are you wanking you off?
Because, and he says, nice. He says, what are you doing? And I say, let's get that clean, let's get that nice and clean. And he says, are you the nurse? I went, no, and I ran off out of the hospital. So basically, I always would have been in it wanking him off.
You're an abuser.
Well, I would have been in the, what I was playing.
When you had to film the thing, what did they put in your hands to wank
him? Nothing, so I just did that over his crotch, and he basically didn't really speak a word to me.
That looks like he's got a very, very narrow penis.
Well, because under a blanket, I basically just put my hands together, and it was under a blanket, so you didn't, it was just...
You look like you're playing one potato, two potato.
Yeah, the reason I did it with one hand, the director went, no, really go for it with two hands. It's quite tiring. I mean, I really feel the podcast has been quite cruel today.
I'm sorry, you can blame me. Well, I'm really sorry.
Well, you've got none out of four, Lizzie. None out of four.
I haven't watched any films, and I've sworn too much.
It was a cerebral podcast, and now it's all about bumming. Go apologise to me. Apologise to the people on their car.
I'm really, really sorry. I blame the naked man over the road. I'm sorry.
The naked man in the window of the road. Here's the final question.
Yeah.
Which actress's real name is Karen Johnson? Very difficult.
Oh, well, give me a clue then.
She was... sort of big, late 80s, early 90s, and he's got quite a stupid name.
Sigourney Weaver.
No.
It's a good guess, though.
It is a good guess. I'll give you another clue. She's a black actress.
Oh, God. No, because you wouldn't change your name to that. Thandi Newton.
No, the answer is Whoopi Goldberg.
She changed her name to Whoopi Goldberg.
And her mum apparently said to her, because of the Hollywood, have a sort of Jewish sounding surname.
Wow.
Even though she's black.
That's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So what was her original name again?
Karen Johnson.
Wow.
Karen Johnson in Sister Act, not the same as Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg's an amazing name.
Whoopi's a great... I mean, you would never make up Whoopi, would you?
No, Whoopi's fucking glorious.
It's a great name. Whoopi. If in doubt, give yourself a name you call a kangaroo.
I liked it when Whoopi Goldberg got together with Ted Danson. That was one of those weird...
Well, they were going out?
Yeah, they were together for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, that rocks your tiny mind, doesn't it?
That would be a good question.
You're imagining Ted Danson on top of Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I'm not. And please do not imagine that, listeners at home.
You can't stop yourself.
Well...
I'm really sorry. You should never have allowed me on here.
Well, we've come to the end of the podcast.
And you feel cheap and dirty.
I'm sitting here with my head's in my hands.
Well, at least my oven's nice and clean.
Meanwhile, the other man has cleared out the whole of the house downstairs. Totally empty. All the floorboards have gone. Well, then you don't feel so sorry.
Yeah, that'll learn me.
Well, listeners, please write in if you've enjoyed the podcast. Have you got anything you want to plug or promote?
I'm on tour next year.
Do you have a Twitter? What's your Twitter account?
At Lizzie Roper, at LIZZIEROPER. And I'm on tour next year with Grumpy Old Women, me, Jenny Eclair and Dilly Keane, coming to a town near you between April, May and June. Oh, and I don't think we said what the title of this Elaine Stritch thing was. It's called Elaine Stritch at Liberty. And it's a 2.5-hour one-woman show performed by an octogenarian, and it is exceptional.
Well, super. Thank you very much for coming on the show and watching the film.
Thank you for having me, and I can only apologise again.
No, you've been an absolute joy. Hey, and remember, everybody...
Keep watching the films!
Films. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.